Hello, and welcome to Word Theater. My name is Cedaring Fox. I'm the founder and artistic director. Along with my friend Robert Morgan Fisher, who has led the UCLA Word Commandos, also known as the SEAL Team 6 of veteran writer groups, since 2016, we would like to share two of the Word Commandos pieces of flash fiction that were performed as part of last Sunday's live stream, a veterans literary tour. These two selections articulate different aspects of the ravages of war. To commemorate all the men and women who serve and have served, please take a few minutes to sit and listen. First up, recorded live in Los Angeles, we have Bellamy Young reading Noel Brunel's story, Gold Star.
I hadn't planned to go to Arlington this visit. It was the flower people who gave me the nudge. That morning, as I made my way through the hotel, I lingered in the hallway outside the breakfast bar. It was lined with photos of fallen soldiers and airmen and Marines, each in a lovingly crafted crayon and glittered construction paper frame. As I exited, I was met by a thick bouquet, a man, Robert, Rick. He wore a white polo with flowers for the families and navy across his chest. He explained that the flowers, sunflowers, roses, misty pink lilies, well, they had been grown special for the occasion on the mesa where he had grown up. In past years, his family had FedExed them to the gathering, but this year, they had brought the flowers in person to this meeting of the families of the fallen. "There's my wife," the man gestured to a woman in the crowd of happy conversations. He introduced us. They talked about their nursery, that the wife hadn't expected to see so many children. "Do you need a hug?" I outstretched my arms. Later, I remembered the wife's golden hair, flag-themed shirt, and glossy eyes that drifted from family to family. They encouraged me to take a bouquet. At first, I resisted. I'll leave them for the others. But in the end, I took two. Approaching the cemetery, I realized I hadn't expected so many people. In line for the metal detector, I heard the man behind me, oblivious to those around him, trying to impress his female companions with the steps that terrorists could take to interrupt the day. But once inside, I made my way toward Section 60, home to those lost to the forever wars. Cars lined the main thoroughfare, and as I walked, I watched white-shirted volunteers place a single rose next to the flag at the base of each marble headstone. The sky was darker now. The intermittent puffs of clouds I glimpsed as I departed the hotel now formed a gray blanket covering the day. At a familiar intersection, I counted the rows from the bench, and after a short search, I found the first of two headstones I'd come to visit. I stood before my friend, wordless. I held myself. I began to sway. We had met when I was assigned to a communications post in Korea. He had been a pilot. Air Force Special Ops. Cold precision in the air, generous and funny on the ground. His overweight aircraft had lost an engine on departure above the hills in Bagram. Seven survived, but he did not. As tears blurred his name, I realized the flowers I'd brought had already drooped. I felt as barren as the desert sky. My discomfort was interrupted by three men. Jeans, gray tees, flannel. They approached a nearby headstone. They unfolded a company flag and draped it over a grave. A flask was raised in tribute. One took a knee. "Why?" His words were choked with tears. Fucking stop loss! You were supposed to be home! Each knelt. The story emerged. A last-minute personnel change. A dangerous road. Hostile fire. The empty hole in the world. I waited until the men rose and gave each other half hugs before I placed one of the two bouquets at my feet and I turned to continue. Well, hello, how are you? I looked up. The blonde wife waved from behind a golden sedan. You remember us from the hotel? What are you doing here? Surprised, I took a deep breath and I glanced behind me. Visiting a friend. I gestured down the row of stones. I served, my husband, he's up the road. The woman's eyes darted to her husband and her children. I continued up the hill alone. The crowd was thinning. I found my second destination quickly. A larger stone in a sea of singles, a pre-9/11 loss in a field of aged out World War II veterans. Six names above a small box of ash. All that could be recovered once the teams reached the remains of the charred helicopter that had failed to return home from that night flight. To my surprise, a bouquet had already been placed. Roses. One red and 11 white. New tears were sudden and hot. Relief that someone had remembered. Someone cared. At some point I realized my clothes were wet with rain and I turned to go. I noticed the three men from before. They were searching for a stone lower on the hill. A gust of wind ruffled my clothes as I reached the road. I was mid-shiver when I was startled by a blue tour trolley winding its way to the tomb of the unknown soldier. As it passed, I saw a woman snap my photo and just thought, like the zoo. My foot slipped on the slick pavement, and I just sat there for a moment before righting myself and continuing down the hill. Just past the McClellan Gate, I turned toward the museum. The street was lined with cars, and I saw that a handful of the flower people still braved the elements. Arms laden, they kneeled at each marker to place a florist rose before moving on to the next. My legs were heavy and my teeth were chattering, and I asked one of their leaders whether I could shelter for a moment in one of their cars. I was surprised by the look in his eyes, the lack of recognition for my visit. So I pressed on. As I approached the museum, an orange sun peeked from below pink and lemon clouds. A man, early 30s, close-crop hair, and a flowers for the family's tea came along beside me. I said, thank you for bringing the flowers. Yes, he countered. This is such a great venue. The man beamed, oblivious to the words he just uttered. Tears stung my face as I gasped for breath. Then, Providence. My three buddies from before appeared right alongside me, soaked to the bone as well. Do you have anything left in that flask? I asked. Without hesitation, they handed me the thermos. I took a long drink and gave them a faint smile. With nods, we acknowledged membership in the same secret, awful club.
Up next, recorded live in Paris this past Sunday, we have Gary Dordain performing Gentle Culpepper's Hubby.
Hubby's face sat on the wall. He tasted his soul. It rested on his chest. He had no skills. His desire for joy flew into greasy canyons of fallen dreams. Abby tried to focus. He was a vet. The lone soldier was angry at hungry tribes. His body lay on his childhood bed. His mother, Clara, called him hubby. Talked to herself and her gone husband while fixing biscuit and eggs for breakfast. "You left me, Herbie. That's all right, sweetie. You married that white girl, cab driver. Her teeth were rather large. I saw her. You left your son and me in that studio apartment. It was so long ago. However, that's all right, baby. That's okay. We are good. Hubby got an honorable discharge. He's having a little trouble adjusting, but that's all right, Herbie, you low-down dog. It's okay." Melissa the cat slept in the wormhole of unkept vengeance. She chewed tobacco during fits of extreme anxiety. "Hubby, come down, sweetie. It's breakfast time. You can look at the sky later, honey." Clara hurried off to work. She cared for the elderly at a rest home. Clara watched them, told them stories. Her thoughts, wishes played in the rain and springtime. She loved her only child, Hubby. Hubby entered the kitchen. He abused his breakfast. "I will smother mom's biscuits with strawberry preserves. Scrambled eggs will drown in ketchup. This operation is a frontal assault." Hubby washed his plate, frying pan and fork. He strolled into the living room. Melissa, sweet Melissa, still asleep, kept her dreams hidden behind coal black eyes. Hubby started to pet Melissa. She didn't like to be touched while sleeping. He remembered that. She was a little kitten when he went off to war. Hubby didn't like being around humans. He didn't like crowds. Old friends dropped by to see him. They didn't stay long. Civilians were aliens, foreign creatures who lived far away from the storm. There was no one to talk to. Mother was at work. Daddy was in Wonderland with new teeth Alice, who used to have large teeth. But yes, here's Melissa. Oh, sweet darling feline. Born during a random harvest. Some boring moron threw you out of a moving car. You were screaming, wrapped in a plastic bag. Some kind people found you, took you to a vet. Mother dear adopted you. Here you are, Melissa. It's you and me. Now, I know that you are smarter than most people. You can figure things out. So I'm fixing to tell you some things. I want you to listen to me, okay? Tiny cat snores bounce freely throughout the day. Melissa, bueno gato. I want you to understand I am not the same. My whole vibe has changed. You have no idea what a combat zone is like. I lived in one. I got scars inside my head, just under my skin. See? I'm sorry, you can't see them, but they're there. I was infantry. You know what that means, Melissa? Being in the infantry, you're supposed to be a killer. Tough. Tough as a steel toe boot. When you're in the infantry, you walk. Sometimes you walk all day. My feet still burn, Melissa. They catch fire while the world sleeps. The boys and me kept looking for somebody to kill. People we didn't know. Perfect strangers. Couldn't be friends with the enemy. I shot at lots of enemy soldiers. Tried not to hit them. But some did get in the way of my 16. I shot expert in basic. I have a dead eye, Melissa. Did you know that? I see faces of the dead. I see faces when I'm awake. I don't have to dream. I have friends that died in the jungle. I welcome them. They don't visit me. I wish they would. I would love to speak to them. Why am I sad all the time? I should be happy, shouldn't I? Hell, I'm alive. My friend Sergeant Staff Sullivan, he was cool. He kept me out of trouble. He told me I had a big mouth. I did. The generals promoted him to E7. Sarge went to another platoon. I once saw him at this creek. He was filling his canteen. He looked up at me and said, "How you doing, hubby?" "Hello, Sarge." That was all I said. "Hello, Sarge." I finished filling my canteen, lit a cigarette. Later, one of my friends, I can't remember, ran up to me. Hubby, Sergeant Sullivan just got killed. Sniper shot him in the head. I froze right there in that spot. I couldn't move, Melissa. I will always remember that silly smile Sullivan had on his face. This was his third tour. He owned a trailer park in Brooklyn. I would like to see him, talk to him. All I see are the people I wasted. It's strange, Melissa. I left Nam, but I brought it home. I brought the damn war home with me. I brought the monsoons, the heat, pain, anguish, burning feet. The real me, the happy me, hubby, is sitting on some lonesome hill in Vietnam. Damn, Melissa, do I have to learn to count all over again? I have to start all over. How do I get my joy back? What do you think of all this, Melissa? Melissa, you've been paying attention. Oh, well. I think I'll head to the corner store for a beer. Anything you need, Melissa. Please don't repeat a word of this to Mother. Okay? The conversation is between you and me. I love you, Melissa. I truly do. I'll be right back.
If you missed a Veterans Literary Tour, please become a Word Theater patron or enthusiast member, and you can access the full 2-hour show on your members page. You will not regret one moment watching great actors perform these moving, honest stories by these veteran word commandos. We'll be back next year with more selections from Robert Morgan Fisher's group, and we have so many live, in-person, and streamed performances for our contributing members to enjoy in December of this year and all of next. 2022 is going to be a very robust year. Please join us. This is Cedaring Fox. Until next time, signing off.